Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the extraordinary statement by the nation's former top intelligence official, General James Clapper, who said on CNN that Vladimir Putin might as well be Donald Trump's case officer and Trump Putin's asset. Malcolm Nance, a career counterterrorism and intelligence officer with the U.S. government's Special Operations, Homeland Security, and intelligence agencies, who is the author of The Plot to Hack America, How Putin's Cyber Spies and WikiLeaks Tried to Steal the 2016 Election, joins us. We will discuss the race to get the secret information about Trump and the extent to which Putin owns and controls him out to the public via the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation before Trump finds a way to fire Mueller and the Republicans close down the congressional investigations into Russia's interference in our elections. Then we'll speak with Morris Pearl, the former managing director of BlackRock, Inc., who serves as chair of the Patriotic Millionaires, a group of 200 high net worth Americans committed to building a more prosperous, stable, and inclusive nation. We will discuss today's passage of the Republican tax bill in the House and Morris Pearl's belief that, quoting him, "This bill isn't just cruel, it's un-American. No one in their right mind could possibly believe that the middle class has too much and the rich and powerful have too little in today's America." Then finally, we'll address the blatant stealing of the recent election in Honduras by President Juan Orlando Hernandez and the craven acceptance by the U.S. government of this illegitimate, corrupt, authoritarian leader with ties to drug traffickers. Silvio Carrillo, a freelance film and news producer who has an op-ed at the International New York Times, America's Blind Eye to Honduras's Tyrant, joins us. He is the nephew of the environmental activist Berta Cáceres, whose murder has been covered up by Hernandez, and we will discuss how instability in Honduras will lead to more Hondurans heading to the United States for safety, in spite of Trump's promise to build a wall. And joining us now is Malcolm Nance, a career counterterrorism and intelligence officer with the U.S. government Special Operations, Homeland Security, and intelligence agencies, who has over 33 years of experience in combating radical extremism. He's the author of An End to Al-Qaeda, The Terrorists of Iraq, Defeating ISIS, Who They Are, How They Fight, What They Believe. And his latest book is The Plot to Hack America, How Putin's Cyber Spies and WikiLeaks Tried to Steal the 2016 Election. Welcome to Background Briefing, Malcolm Nance.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you, Malcolm. And I imagine you're working on a sequel because it's hard to keep up with all of this stuff that's going on, right?
Well, in fact, ever since I wrote Plot to Hack America about 15 months ago, I've been compiling information for the sequel. Mm-hmm. And like Plot to Hack America, that was an intelligence analysis of what had to be. And just turned out to be identical to everything that the CIA had assessed. With the sequel book, which is going to be about a plot to destroy democracy and how the United States is now one of the pillars in an axis of autocracies around the world that don't believe liberal American democracy is a viable system of government. They believe money is.
Well, that's what's happened, I think, and is happening. We're in the process of, at the very least, we're in the process of losing any kind of national consensus over what is true and what is real. And that is clearly a tactic and technique that's been borrowed by Bannon and company from Putin, who's what they call a political technologist. Surkov invented this idea of confusion. Nothing is true and everything is possible. And that's been translated and transported to the United States thanks to Rupert Murdoch and Fox News. So you have 30 to 40% of the American people inside a bubble that is immune to truth and evidence. And to my mind, you know, whether that's autocracy or not, it's certainly Orwellian and I think tragic.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, none of this is new. It's just the technologies that have made the transport this belief system, this bubble, now on a very, very broad scale. That's what's new. Many of these concepts, which are executed by Vladimir Putin and his philosopher Surkov and Dugin, Alexander Dugin, are all communist-based. These are very old, you know, former Soviet Union beliefs that the West itself was a failed system of government and that what you needed to do was transport an ideology over that by co-opting the populations that were susceptible to your propaganda. So those systems have been in place for decades and decades. It's just with the fall of the Soviet Union, the rise of Russia as a, you know, the Russian Federation as a new empire with money, real Western levels of capitalist of income, you can just remove communism from that ideological template, replace that with this sort of neo-Russian imperialism, and the belief that money is now the vehicle, the prime mover, the vehicle in which everyone will respond to you. Then even a third-rate country like Russia can rise to the top of the global, you know, ideological spectrum by essentially pushing out through modern technology this belief system that, you know, that autocracies with, you know, that are cash-based are better than, you know, the failed American democratic system. It's brilliant if you think about it, because you get to actually do this and be successful with this by harnessing the tools of democracy, free speech, national elections where everybody votes, and you can actually damage democracy or do away with democracy by essentially buying it through the medium of, you know, of money, by harnessing social media and technology to eliminate your own system of government. It's fascinating if you think about it.
Well, that's what Putin's done. He calls it a controlled democracy, where you have the patina of and the vestiges of democracy and freedom, but in reality, it's a kleptocracy. And by the way, it's a very right-wing religious nationalist kleptocracy. Not that I think Putin himself is personally religious, but he appeals to the church, and he's given the Orthodox Church an enormous amount of importance in Russian society. And that leads me to this extraordinary question of why don't American leftists see Putin for who he is, which is a far right wing religious nationalist along the lines of Rick Santorum, as well as being pro-fascist in terms of who he supports in Western Europe?
Well, I think most people on the left do see that. As a matter of fact, you see this backlash where the people who are trying to uphold the precepts of democratic government and, you know, this opposition to Russia are the left. Now, there is an extreme libertarian left. These are people who are so far to the left that they come back around to the right, who believe that, you know, nothing is right, and they support Jill Stein, who, by the way, was under the control of Vladimir Putin. I won't say direct control, but certainly under the influence of Vladimir Putin, and worked, you know, to a certain extent, gave Donald Trump a lot of cover in the last election, to the point where the Russian Green Party begged the American Green Party to not have anything to do with Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, and they scoffed it off. They wanted to essentially have the United States government become so bad that people would see the Green Party as a viable alternative to the progressive left. All of that being said, you know, the mainstream left have reversed roles with the old Cold War hawk, who always saw, you know, Russia and communism as bad. Now, as you say, there's this religious nationalism that sprouted in Russia that Putin caught on to very early after the fall of the Soviet Union. And he's now propelled Russia to be sort of the ideological center of the Western Christian conservative world. And you see all these American, you know, conservative politicians going to Russia, I mean, over the last 10 years, and most notably the last 3 years, going to Russia and seeing them as ideological soulmates. That's fascinating. These were people who were hardcore calling people commies and, you know, death to Reds and all of those things. They have now completely flipped, and they see Putin's Russia as a spiritual base, to the point where they see no problem and what Russia has done in attacking the United States with this cyber warfare operation. And they see Russia's support of Donald Trump as equal to their own support to the point where I think Vladimir Putin has something like a 69% approval rating amongst the conservative right in the United States. And, you know, I believe Barack Obama had something like 10%. So that just goes to show how this sort of psychological warfare judo has worked its magic once Russia changed from the stripes of the communist Soviet Union into this, like, you know, as you call it, you know, a religious nationalist-based kleptocracy, which is, you know, technically a fascist nation, right? What does Mussolini call a fascist nation? A dictatorship of the corporate right. Well, this is what's happened. And now they are strong enough, at least in terms of ideology and co-opting through democratic means, Americans who are more than willing to allow, you know, to trust a former director of the KGB, right, former KGB officer and director of Russian intelligence, over anyone on the American left, no matter how patriotic and loyal.
And again, I'm speaking with Malcolm Nance, a career counterterrorism and intelligence officer with the U.S. government, Special Operations, Homeland Security, and intelligence agencies, who has over 33 years of experience in combating radical extremism. He's the author of An End to Al-Qaeda, The Terrorists of Iraq, Defeating ISIS, Who They Are, How They Fight, What They Believe. And his latest book is The Plot to Hack America, How Putin's Cyber Spies and WikiLeaks Tried to Steal the 2016 Election. So you just mentioned how the American right is in bed with Putin. The most shocking thing of all, of course, is that the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, could well be Putin's asset. And I'm not making that up, because the former top intelligence officer in the country, the director of national intelligence, General James Clapper, said as much in an interview on CNN on Monday. Let's just play a clip of what James Clapper said in response to a question from Jim Suter of CNN about the friendly phone calls between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin.
You heard the president's speech today. He calls out Russia and China, describes them as rival powers to the U.S., but also says he wants to build a great partnership with them, and then had all this friendly stuff to say about his phone calls with Vladimir Putin this week. Is that a contradictory message?
Well, it is to me. I think this past weekend is illustrative of what a great case officer Vladimir Putin is. He knows how to handle an asset, and that's what he's doing with the president.
You're saying that Russia is handling President Trump as an asset?
That's the appearance to me. So, you know, we've shared intelligence with the Russians for a long time. We've always done that, although my experience with them has been pretty much of a one-way street, where we provide them intelligence and we don't get much back. And oddly enough, my first exposure to that was in the early 90s, when I served as director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and we were trying to engage the Russians on, of all places, North Korea, and didn't get much back from them. So I think what we did is the right thing. Certainly when people's lives are at risk, that we do have a duty to warn. And so the intelligence community, CIA, did the right thing here. And I thought, in a rather theatric gesture, the phone call to thank President Trump for something that kind of goes on at levels below the radar and is not all that visible.
I just want to be clear here, though. You're saying that Russia is treating the president of the United States as an asset.
I'm saying this figuratively. Mm-hmm. I think you have to remember Putin's background. He's a KGB officer. That's what they do. They recruit assets. And I think some of that experience and instincts of Putin is coming to play here in his managing a pretty important account for him, if I could use that term, with our president.
Malcolm Nance, what did you think of that exchange with General Clapper? Because frankly, it's just extraordinary. It's so out there that for all to see that the top intelligence officer, or the former top intelligence officer in the country, is telling the American people that their president is, to put it bluntly, Putin's bitch.
Well, you know, a few minutes later, he did come back and say that he was speaking figuratively. But, you know, it's not an assessment that is unheard of, and certainly that hasn't been spoken of. I know I wrote that exact assessment, Plot to Hack America, in 2016. You know, there's a difference, though. I mean, I think he was using it in the terms not of actual tradecraft, but he was using it in terms of a politician who was so easily influenced, so easily led around by the nose ring, that he has become essentially an asset for Russia because Russia knows how to manipulate Donald Trump. My assessment was a lot further on, and I think we're going to, you know, the evidence is starting to become clearer. My assessment is that he was an unwitting asset, that he was essentially a puppet under, you know, Vladimir Putin's control from as far back as 2013, based on all the readings we got about his behavior at Miss Universe and how Russia has essentially managed to co-opt him and get him to believe in their worldview and not the traditional American worldview that has existed since World War II. You know, with the dissolution of NATO, the breaking up of the European Union, taking America out of all global trade agreements. None of this benefits America. All of it benefits Russia. That requires some level of manipulation, whether overt or covert. On the other hand, when Donald Trump became very aware that Russia was doing things in their interest, particularly on July 27th of 2016, when he made his statement, "Russia, if you're listening, please release the 33,000 hacked Hillary Clinton emails," then I assess he became a winning asset. He knew Russia was now working in his interest. And I believe from that point onward, he not only knows Russia is out to help him, he is openly and gladly accepting their assistance, as based on the phone call that Michael Flynn was now arrested, indicted, and pled guilty on, you know, speaking to the Russian foreign minister for lying to the FBI, and Trump's passionate embrace and almost obsequious, not almost, total obsequiousness to Vladimir Putin about anything. He never insults the man. He always agrees with Putin. And when Putin makes a phone call to Trump or releases it to the news media that Trump has done something positive, Trump gushes. And
right.
Any other person in the United States would have been investigated over these ties, and now Donald Trump is being investigated as well.
Well, but that leads you to the question of how long will this investigation go on? Obviously, Fox News is orchestrating a campaign to smear Special Counsel Mueller, and it does feel as though at any moment Trump could fire Robert Mueller, and it may be a good time over the holidays to do so. What's your sense on whether that's in the cards?
Well, I mean, that would be cataclysmic. That would be tantamount to declaring war on the the Constitution of the United States. There's a lot of rumors that have been swirling around, you know, the D.C. this week and in the news media that Trump was going to try to pull some fast removal of a regulation that would allow him to directly fire Mueller, as opposed to having the Deputy Attorney General, Rob Rosenstein, fire him, or fire Sessions, appoint an interim, and the interim would no longer be recused, and he would fire Rosenstein, then fire Mueller. Mm-hmm. All of these things, I mean, they're all within the realm of possibility, but that would be an admission of guilt. I mean, the only thing you could say is, you fired an attorney, you fired a director of the FBI, you fired an attorney general if he does that, and now you went down the chain of command, fired a deputy attorney general, and then fired the guy who was investigating you. You're clearly guilty of something. All of the information from the Mueller investigation would fall out of trucks on pallets in front of the New York Times and the Washington Post, and I think we'd be within a constitutional crisis and an impeachment within weeks.
Well, will then the evidence ever get out? I mean, I wish Clapper could go public with what he knows, because he's not going out on a limb. He's not saying that Putin is Trump's case officer and he's essentially a Russian asset. He wouldn't make a statement like that, I don't think, unless he knew what's going on. So my frustration is, you know, I get all these angry letters saying, where's the evidence? This, by the way, is the mantra on RT. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Well, do you think Robert Mueller is going to deliver the evidence that we need? Because it's going to have to be pretty strong to get the Fox News viewers to believe that Trump is, shall we say, in collusion, to use that rather amorphous term, with Russia?
Well, collusion is a really horrible word here because people are trying to use it in a common vernacular. Mueller has already made it clear what the terms he's operating on are, and that is conspiracy against the United States. It was the first charges filed against Gates and Paul Manafort in their money laundering trial. He used the power of the FBI for lying to a federal agent against Papadopoulos and Michael Flynn to get them to plead guilty. And now, you know, the problem is people want to use the word evidence. Evidence is a legal term. What you have been getting over the last year, including my own assessment, was intelligence. Intelligence is not legal until it is in the hands of the Justice Department. Mueller has evidence. He has already attained two convictions, right? Because confessing and pleading guilty is a conviction. Mike Flynn is now a convicted felon. So is George Papadopoulos. And now he has two indictments for massive amounts of money laundering. So that being said, this is considered the lowest hanging fruit in this investigation. These people are now making the case. And as, you know, a jurist said on television the other day, he is doing a classic mafia style criminal organization trial. And like those mafia trials, you don't see the evidence until the story is over, right? You can gain inference at what the evidence is on the basis of who he's going after and who he's convicted.
Well, just in the last minute, you brought up Jill Stein, and this Senate Intelligence Committee is going to be interviewing her. Clearly, I think, I'm pretty sure she was what the Russian KGB call a useful idiot. I don't know that she was actively knowing how much she was being manipulated. But she did deliver more votes or took more votes away from Hillary Clinton in those three states, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, to cause Hillary Clinton's loss. So if the Russians invested in her along with their other activities, it was a hell of a good investment.
Well, you know, in the sequel of The Plot to Hack America, I'm writing about what I call the dinner table, which was at the 10th anniversary of Russia Today. They had Vladimir Putin seated at the head of the table, of the table of the guest of honors. And to his right hand was Michael Flynn. But also at the table was Jill Stein and the father of Julian Assange. Now, I find all three of these characters very fascinating, all of whom are useful idiots. And to paraphrase John Brennan, the former director of the CIA, most people, when they're committing treason, aren't aware they're committing treason when you're being manipulated by a foreign intelligence agency.
Well, Malcolm Nance, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
It's my pleasure.
And again, I've been speaking with Malcolm Nance, a career counterterrorism and intelligence officer with the U.S. government, Special Operations, Homeland Security, and Intelligence Agency, who has over 33 years of experience in combating radical extremism. He's the author of An End to Al-Qaeda, The Terrorists of Iraq, Defeating ISIS, Who They Are, How They Fight, What They Believe. And his latest book is The Plot to Hack America, How Putin's Cyber Spies and WikiLeaks Tried to Steal the 2016 Election. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back speaking with the chair of the Patriotic Millionaires about the Republicans' tax bill, which is not just cruel, but un-American.